Last week, the Kern High School District Board voted to approve a plan to allow teachers and community members with concealed weapons permits to carry their guns on campus. The move was controversial both because of the topic itself and also the last-minute nature of the meeting and vote. Joining us now is Bakersfield, Californian education reporter Harold Pierce, who has been following the story. Harold, welcome.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
First of all, didn't the board already vote on this about 6 months ago? It seems like this popped up again. Why was this vote significant if they had already voted on it before?
It keeps getting dragged on. And, you know, what they voted on 6 months ago was a CCW permit application for non-employees. They thought they ought to have different standards for folks who are teachers and certificated staff members. So that's what they did this past week. And it was a very unusual meeting from a few different standpoints. First of all, it was a special session, and those are often referred to as these emergency meetings. They're usually for litigation practices or for real estate matters, not typically to hold a vote for something they've been discussing for the better part of a year. What's also unusual about it is the policy they were voting on was a first and final reading, which is not very common at all. Generally, when policies are passed, they have first readings and second readings before they go to a final vote. In this case, it really felt like it was rushed through, and they went ahead and they passed that policy 3-2 on last Thursday.
So what was the rush all of a sudden? Because they had been talking about the implementation of this policy for some time. I even heard in your reporting and others that they had some people had said on the board, well, this might take a year to implement. All of a sudden, this comes out last Wednesday that in 24 hours the board was going to have this meeting and all of a sudden pass this proposal.
Right, Joe. They've been talking about this for 10 months, and they've been doing research for it. And, I mean, it's even included a trip out to Texas. Brenda Lewis, the Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Services, has been taken away and tasked with researching CCW permits. She's gone to Texas. It cost the district roughly $1,600 for that trip, so she can observe a firearms training course over there. And then None of the research was actually even implemented into the policy that was passed on Thursday. There's no administrative regulations that were passed. And the reason they rushed this through, and this is by the own admission of the board president, Mike Williams, he had said that he didn't want a new board member coming on and making that decision for the board. And why that's important is because Chad Vegas, who's been a proponent of this for a very long time, he's leaving the board. He decided earlier this year he couldn't serve anymore. He wasn't going to run for a fourth term because anti-discrimination state anti-discrimination laws, he didn't want to enforce them. He said it would violate his religious conscience to have to enforce those laws. So they saw him going out, and they saw somebody else coming in and the potential for that person to vote against it potentially. And it also has to deal with the amount of knowledge that person has on the issue, is what Mike Williams has been saying, is that he didn't want somebody who hasn't been involved in the discussions about the CCW permits coming in and voting on it when he's not educated on it.
So where does this stand right now, given the actions of the board earlier this year and then last Thursday? What's the status of this in real life?
Well, in real life, at this point, what Mike Williams, the president of the board, has said is that nobody's going to go out and, you know, get this immediately. Teachers aren't going to be granted this. It's all at the superintendent's discretion. So the superintendent's not going to be able to – he could technically, in terms of the policy, approve a teacher to come in and do it right now. But what the actual policy did was allow the superintendent and give some direction to the superintendent to start – creating some administrative regulations to put this thing into practice. They say it should be in practice within a year to allow teachers who are CCW permit holders to come onto campus with their firearms. And they've talked about, you know, different training for these folks and different regulations for these folks, none of which has been put into practice yet. They've talked about having 40 to 80 hours of firearms training. They talked about limiting the caliber size, having frangible bullets so they wouldn't be able to penetrate walls, things like that. But obviously none of that's been written yet.
Now, there is one group of people, and that's non-staff members. I understand some of them are already in the process of going into this concealed weapons on campus process.
It's not even a process. They've already been approved. There's been about 13 folks who have been approved for this, and I believe three or four of them are actually members of Chad Vegas. Chad Vegas is a current high school district trustee who's going to be gone here in the next couple of weeks. He actually holds church services at Frontier High School for Sovereign Grace Church, and three or four of his members have actually signed up for this permit process. And Chad Vegas himself has said during public meetings that he's a CCW permit holder. All the while, these last 10 months, he's really been a proponent of this this policy, because he says that he doesn't want church members who use the facilities on the weekends to be disbarred from carrying their CCWs and carrying their firearms onto campuses. So it's actually interesting. Chad had posted something on Facebook. He was upset about the fact that we had written about this and called out some of his church members for it. We didn't name any names. However, he was upset because he feels like they're being made targets out of, which I find confusing, Joe, since he's asked for the entire Kern High School District to have CCW permits, and the position of the board has been that makes the school safer.
Is there any thought that with a new board that is seated in the coming weeks that maybe this issue could come back up, given that it was a 3-2 vote and given that his seat apparently was the critical vote in passing this this measure?
There's potential for it, but, we've pressed Joby O'Connell, the individual who is taking Chad Vegas' seat in a couple of weeks here on this matter. We've asked him his position, and he really had no say on it. He said he wasn't educated enough in the policy to opine on it one way or the other. I think it's always a possibility it could come up again, and they could discuss it, in a few months. I mean, the whole time there were folks who were asking for a sunset policy on this, a sunset clause where the board can come back and discuss it and see how it went after a year. But as of right now, there's no thing like that in the policy that was enacted on Thursday.
And we know how many community members are already in this permit approval. Do we know how many potential teachers, school employees might be interested in something like this? Have any of them spoken out on the record saying, I want to do this?
Nobody's spoken out on the record that we know of so far, and we don't know the number of teachers who actually have CCW permits. From all indications, it would be a very low number, which, Chad Vegas has said, I don't understand why people are assigning so much importance to this matter, and he doesn't understand why there's been such a large amount of media attention toward it, because he thinks that he'd be lucky if we get one teacher at each campus. He thinks it'd be miraculous, which calls into question why the board has spent 10 months, better part of 10 months, and a lot of just resources talking about this matter and researching the matter.
Harold Pierce with the Bakersfield Californian with us today on Valley Edition. The Kern High School District also in the news for another issue, and that is Tulare County prosecutors who were investigating alleged misuse of the law enforcement database that the state uses called CLEATS by district employees have said no wrongdoing, no charges will be filed. What's the latest on that? And I guess it cleared one alleged potential whistleblower, but what exactly happened there?
Yeah, oh boy, this is a long, complicated story there, Joe, and I'll try to whittle it down as much as possible. So earlier this year, obviously, the Kern High School District was accused. Some high-level administrators were accused of misusing the sensitive police database. And for those who are unfamiliar, Kern High School District has their own police department on campus. They're not a security force. They have the same rights and privileges, same background check systems as any other Kern County Sheriff's Department or the BPD. And so it came out this past year that for years, some administrators were misusing that system. What it came down to recently was the current sheriff's department had recommended charges against those folks. DA declined to press charges because there was a statute of limitations that had lapsed and there was a lack of evidence. After that had occurred, Joseph Lopetegui, the former he's the current police chief, is on administrative leave right now. He is the whistleblower who called the district out on this. Well, the district came back sometime later, and Mike Zulfa, the HR director over there, had said, actually, Lopetegui was the one who was misusing that system. He ran a CLEATS check against a son-in-law who was actually, or is a stepson, who actually was a current high school district employee and who was an heroin addict, and he had unfortunately passed away sometime later. But Lopetegui had good reason to use that background check system on this individual. He was under the impression that he was using again, and that potentially he had some arrest warrants open. So he checked his name, and that's what is at the center of this this most recent news. They couldn't send it to the sheriff's department because Lopetegui used to work there, so there was a conflict of interest. They couldn't send it to the DA's office because Brenda Lewis, who we talked about earlier having a Texas trip, she's the superintendent over instruction, her daughter works for the DA's office. So they sent it to Larry County District Attorney's office, and they came back and they said very strongly that there was absolutely no criminal wrongdoing here with Joseph Lopetegui related to this Klutz scandal.
But what about the allegations that Lopetegui essentially unveiled when he was the whistleblower talking about prior use by the district of the Cleats database to investigate others in the past? Is that still open, or is it just because the statute of limitations has passed there, it's a moot point?
You know, it's tough to say right now. We know for sure that the current sheriff's department has finished up their investigation, recommended charges. The DA has declined to press charges. So that's where it's at locally. We're still not sure if there's a DOJ investigation. They would not comment on that matter months ago. They still won't. And then as far as Lopetegui is concerned, I mean, the Tulare County DA didn't investigate that matter at all. They didn't look at all into the previous allegations. But Lopetegui does have a civil suit filed, or a government claim, which is a precursor to a civil suit filed for about $2.2 million against the district. He filed that in August, and he's claiming whistleblower retaliation. So if that goes to trial, I think we're going to see a lot more come out of this. And it would be really interesting to see those 247 names that were run under the Klutz system last year. I think that if that goes to trial and those names come out, there's a very strong possibility that a lot of those names are going to end up being civil suits individually or possibly a class action.
It'll be very interesting, and we'll follow it in the Bakersfield, California, with Harold Pierce, who joins us today on Valley Edition. Harold, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe.